For more than 2 years, the Let Her Speak campaign has petitioned to change the law so that victims of sexual assault in Tasmania and the Northern Territory can be allowed to speak publicly about their experiences. Currently in Tasmania, victims of sexual violence cannot talk about their experiences with sexual violence publicly under the Evidence Act 2001, and victims in the Northern Territory are also not allowed to speak publicly. But today, the Let Her Speak movement celebrated a victory, with a young Tasmanian woman becoming the fourth person ever to be granted a court order allowing her to speak publicly about being groomed by her 58-year-old maths teacher when she was in Year 10. Sexual Assault Support Service, a Hobart-based service in Tasmania for people who have been affected by sexual violence, has written a submission to the Tasmanian government to change the Evidence Act so that consenting victims will be able to speak. Michaela Savage asked Jill Maxwell, CEO of the Sexual Assault Support Service, why these laws were created in the first place.
Many, many years ago, the legislation was created to protect the privacy of victims of sexual assault, given the very nature of the crime that's committed against them. And so it was drafted with good intent to support the privacy of victims.
And what does the law say in regards to perpetrators and the people convicted or who are suspected of sexual assault? Are they also prevented from speaking out publicly?
Look, I couldn't quote the law. I just know that victims are unable to, with the current legislation, unable to identify themselves without going through a process, which is quite a lengthy and difficult process within the courts to apply to be able to tell their story and identify themselves.
And what does the Sexual Assault Support Service think the law should be changed to, or do you think it should remain the same?
We've put in a submission around this to our government, but we're strongly advocating that for choice around this. So if a survivor of sexual violence wants to waive their right to anonymity, we are saying that, you know, they must be over 18, they must have the mental capacity to make this decision, and that particularly publicising their name or the details around the incident or incidents wouldn't identify or be likely to identify any other victims without, you know, the consent of those victims. So we're saying that there still should be a process of application. It should be a much simpler process undertaken by the Department of Justice, who are well placed to understand whether there's other victims involved and whether this criteria is met. And then it should be a matter of choice. So if the criteria is met, they should automatically be able to tell their story and identify themselves. One thing I do want to say is that, you know, almost 2,000 people sought help and support from a sexual assault support service in Tasmania in the last financial year, and that there is only a handful of those survivors that have wanted to go public and tell their story. So the overwhelming majority of people still want to remain private about what's happened to them at this point in time.
So what you're saying is that if a victim wishes to speak publicly about their experience, they should be able to do so?
Yes, as long as it doesn't inadvertently identify other victims within that same perpetrator. So Tasmania is a small place with a small population in comparison to the other states. And in small communities like here in Tassie, people know what's been going on. So by somebody telling their story and it inadvertently identifies other victims who do not want to go public, we're saying that with a process of application, which is much simpler than the current process, choice always has to be considered for both the person wanting to tell the story and other victims who do not.
Do you think it's likely that the Tasmanian government will take into account your submission and today's case and change the law so that victims are allowed to speak out about what's happened to them?
Look, we're hoping it will. And the Attorney-General has said publicly that they are open to looking at what needs to be changed. So, we can only wait and see. Part of our role here is to support survivors of sexual violence around understanding, you know, what's happened to them, that it's not their fault, and to help them recover from a traumatic event that they've gone through. And part of that support is not only counselling, but, you know, supporting them through if they choose to report, if they choose to go through a court process, but also explaining what their options are right through a process.
Do you think that for some people the process of being able to talk about what they've been through might actually be quite cathartic for them?
Oh, absolutely. But on the flip side, you know, a lot of people talking about their story might re-traumatise them and trigger the trauma. So we have to have a balanced argument and weigh up the choices for people that want to tell their story and also for people that don't.
Jill Maxwell, CEO of the Sexual Assault Support Service, speaking there with Michaela Savage.